Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website, a Sunday morning sermon. If you are in a situation where you can't get to a house of God to worship with other saints, to hear the Word of God, then we're thankful that we can be on the web so you can come here and hear a Sunday morning sermon. Listen, friend of mine, it's more important now that saints of God living in the last days, these end times, these particular times of trouble and tumult, these times that we are living in, we need a place of refuge where we can renew our strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. Run, listen, and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Praise God. So we want to get into a message today that I believe is going to help us to do just that. The Joy of the Lord is the title of it. The Joy of the Lord, our refuge in hard times. The Joy of the Lord, our refuge in hard times. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you have probably heard this particular statement from Scripture that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We want to look into this in this sermon today. The context of the Scripture where that is found is not the New Testament. It is not about the Holy Spirit's power and His work in us to make us joyous. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Listen, friend of mine, this is an important scripture today. I quote the 10th verse of Nehemiah 8 often. In fact, my media minister had a t-shirt printed with it on it because I've said it so many times. I say it at the end of the service when the Word of God has been received and responded to. I said these very words. Listen to them out of Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now they had been heartbroken. They obviously were weeping and sorrowful, if they were not just bawling, because they had been in captivity in Babylon. God had set them free from Babylonian captivity, brought them back to Jerusalem, brought them back to their own houses, their own lands, to rebuild and be restored under the blessing of the Lord. And yet when they heard the law read and saw how far they had drifted from Him, their hearts were broken. And they were cast down. And the moment they were in that repentant attitude, truly repenting from their heart, not just mouthing words, but with broken hearts, rend your heart and not your garments, the Scripture said. Their hearts were being rent by the conviction of, look how far we've drifted from our God, and look at the trouble it got us in. Ah, but now we're home. But instead of enjoying that release of the guilt and the shame, they were still cast down. And Nehemiah is reminding, or Ezra, the high priest, is reminding them, because Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1 says, and Ezra the high priest stood at a pulpit of wood before all of Israel and read from the book of the law. And when he saw them repentant, and when God saw their hearts in full repentance, he said to them, go your way, It's time to celebrate. It's not time to go mourning any further, to be heartbroken anymore, to be filled with guilt or shame anymore. God is ready to restore you because you have repented. Go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them for which nothing is prepared. Make sure everyone is included in this day of the celebration of not just you returning to your land, not just you being delivered from Babylon's servitude, but this day, though all of that is celebration worthy. Amen. I like an amen. That's something to celebrate right there, dear friend of mine. But the reason for the greatest celebration of all, and that resulted in their deliverance and resulted in their restoration, was that they had now been brought back to God. Not just back to Jerusalem, but back to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Neither be you sorry. Don't go mourning anymore, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why in the new covenant it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. You see, it's being right with God, right wise with God. It is the peace of being right with God. Because you're enjoying peace with God, you begin to enjoy the peace of God. Amen. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It's joy, spiritual joy, in this reconciled relationship with God. This word strength here means, in the Hebrew, it's ma'uz, M-A-W hyphen O-Z-E. And it means a place or means of safety. That's why we have titled our sermon, The Joy of the Lord, Our Refuge in Hard Times. It also means protection. What did it say in the New Covenant? If God be for us, who can be against us? When we have that sense of God being for us and God being with us, hallelujah, it's a means of safety, protection, refuge, stronghold, place of safety, fastness, harbor, stronghold, refuge of God, figuratively. Praise God. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge. God is our strength. A very present, or literally in the Hebrew, it would be an ever-present. Hallelujah. Ever-present strength in the time of trouble. God is our refuge, our strength, and an ever-present help in the time of trouble. I want to declare first and foremost this morning, while every generation of Christians needed this strength to endure, and this strength in the Lord and the joy that comes from that relationship with Him, none needed it more than those who would live in the last days. The joy of the Lord is crucial to sustaining true spiritual strength. I want to say something here. Taking refuge from weariness, finding renewed strength, being renewed in our spirit, refreshed in our mind, and reinvigorated in our body, regaining wholeness, spirit, soul, and body, is contingent upon the joy of a reconciled relationship with God, bringing a new sense of God for us and God with us. So the context here for the joy of the Lord is your strength, and becoming a stronghold was not the joy of just being released from slavery and not even just the joy of returning home to rebuild. It was being back right with God, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Oh, they had joy when they got released from captivity and brought back to Zion. But they recognized God did it. God did it. Keeping His word, if you return to me, I will return to you. And this was a sign that God had returned to them and was ready now to turn their captivity, to dry their tears, to give them a song of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. The oil of joy for mourning. Beauty for ashes is what He does in restoration. I preach repentance strongly because it always brings restoration. If it's true repentance from the heart, God responds in mercy and grace and restoration. Praise God. Listen, Psalm 26:1 says, and the heading is, when the Lord restored the captives of Zion. Listen to it. A song of ascents, Psalm 126:1. And listen to it. When the Lord restored the captives of Zion, we were like dreamers. Them that dreamed, the King James said, when He turned the captivity of Zion. This is from a translation. I like it. Listen. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. You know, there's a scripture that said, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. It is this joy of being restored, this joy beginning with a reconciliation with God and to God, so He begins to restore them. It's this joy. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations that saw this, the Lord hath done great things for them. When real revivals break out and there's true revival, one great revivalist of old said there's never been a true God-sent revival without joyous singing. Praise God. Amen. Friend of mine, if we're not right with God today, we need to get right with God today. Amen. If there's some sin that is separating us from that fellowship with Him and that faith in Him, you know, the scripture said, if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But if our hearts condemn us not, our conscience, you see, we have confidence toward God. God with us and God for us gives us boldness even in a troubled time. First and foremost, once again, every generation of Christians needed this joy of the Lord to strengthen them. But none will need it more than those that are living in the last days. The joy of the Lord, therefore, is crucial to sustaining true spiritual strength to endure. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. You've heard this before. I want to read it again. This know that in the last days, that's where we're living, friend, prophetically, biblically, spiritually, culturally. This know that in the last days, perilous or dangerous peril, you see, shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's what brings such persecution. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. As the end approaches, in the last days, it will be difficult to live victoriously in a society that is so corrupted by Satan's lies and sin's unchecked destructive force. Friend, I don't know how old you are that are listening out there, but I grew up in the 50s. I'm so grateful to have grown up in that baby boomer generation, in that generation after the Second World War, when the soldiers came home and married and people began to build their lives. It was an entirely different time, and all of the worries and cares and distractions and temptations, they were not like they are now. It was a different time altogether. The pressure is on now to compromise our convictions, to just go with the flow. Listen, the Greek word that's translated perilous here originated from a root word that connotates the reducing of the strength. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, when the Antichrist is in full power, he will try to wear down the saints of the Most High through persecution. And I'm not just talking about words. I'm talking about all that he's going to bring to bear against those who come to know Jesus during the tribulation. Some will have to lay down their very life in order to not take the mark of the beast. Strong's translation translates perilous, hard to bear, troublesome, and dangerous. We're in desperate need for the true joy of the Lord that brings with it the strength to endure. The strength to endure and to overcome. In Lot's day, because the corruption in Sodom and Gomorrah was so pervasive, the pressure was on him, and he was vexed. He was troubled because of it. Listen to 2 Peter 2, verse 6 through 9. And speaking of God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after them should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. This is not just words. This word conversation, as in the New Covenant, covers behavior and lifestyle and activities. Of course, words are included. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing the behavior, you see, and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unrighteous deeds. Do you relate to that today? In verse 8, the Greek word vexed means to be harassed, distressed, of those who are at sea struggling with a headwind. We have to be counterculture to follow Christ in our culture. There's a headwind pushing back, pushing against us. You have to make a deep, devoted commitment to follow Jesus. That's why he said the first prerequisite for following me, being my true disciple, is to deny yourself, to not love pleasure more than God, but love God more than pleasure. Praise God, and find joy in him, not in sin. Hallelujah. And then take up your cross. And then follow him. Praise the Lord. What a commentary on life in the 21st century. Authentic Christians are to live godly in an ungodly society. We're to march against the wind, to live counter culture. That's why the Apostle Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press, that means to strain forward, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Look with me at Philippians 2, 15 and 16 this morning. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In other words, that you held on and you held out and you kept the faith. Praise God. Listen, we're to be God's luminaries in a sin-darkened world. Not to be diminished by the darkness around us, but rather to be enhanced by it. Upstream Christians in a downstream world. Hallelujah. But we are reconciled to God. He is with us as Jesus promised. I will never leave you. It's in the emphatic in the Greek. I will never, no, never, ever leave you, nor forsake you. But I am with you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. This other word for vexed means to tire down with toil, exhaust with labor, to afflict or oppress with evils. Here again is Satan's strategy to reduce the strength of the righteous. It all looks so grim, but look at verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. This place of strength then, this stronghold that we find in this statement, the joy of the Lord is your strength in the book of Nehemiah, is only found in a right relationship with God. And this right relationship with God is only found through repentance. I don't know why repentance has been delegated to old-time fire and brimstone preachers preaching repent, repent, repent. I don't go to church to repent. I go to church to just have a good time, clap my hands, and get an emotional high. Friend of mine, an emotional high won't carry you through this. It's not the joy of getting a windfall in money. It wasn't even the joy in that day of getting delivered from Babylonian servitude. It wasn't even the joy of getting their homes and lands and restoring the holy city. It was the joy of knowing that no army, once they were restored, no army's going to march in and take it away again, because God is now their protector. God is now their provider. God is now standing for them and with them, no matter what they would have to face. Hallelujah. Amen. It is found in this right relationship with God. That's why Jesus told the church that made him sick to the point of wanting to throw up and spew them out of his mouth, Laodicea. Behold, I knock on the door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and see the fellowship that he's seeking. That's the true joy of the Lord. This is joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who manifests His presence to us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. You say I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. But I say that you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Anoint your eyes, salve, that you may see. And seek white raiment, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness does not appear. Amen. Hallelujah. As many as I love, I rebuke, and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You say, I don't need anything, and I say, you're poor, miserable, you're blind, and you're naked, but you can be clothed with righteous robes. Your eyes can see with a holy introspect, not just condemn yourself and hang your head. No, repent of what is wrong. Let God restore us so that we might know the joyful sound again. And it's an act of love on His part to convict us and convince us of our need for reconciliation. I like what Dave Wilkerson said, and I'm going to quote him. Most Christians never associate joy with repentance. But repentance is actually the mother of all joy in Jesus. Without it, there can be no joy. Yet any believer or congregation who walks in repentance will be flooded with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone else said, what is missing in multitudes of churches today is the thing most needed by the lost that are seeing us, looking to us. Is there any hope? Genuine, soul-satisfied joy. Hallelujah. Those weeping Israelites of Nehemiah's day were tapping into the joy of the Lord's forgiveness, His mercy, His grace, and His restoration. Matthew Henry comments on this scripture this way, after they had wept, they rejoiced. After they had wept, they rejoiced. Holy mourning makes way for holy mirth. Those that sow in tears reap in joy. Those that tremble at the conviction of the word may triumph in the consolations of it. The writer of Amazing Grace said, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was the same grace that convicted me, in other words, that my fears relieved. Hallelujah. Someone else said, fear God, reverently honor Him. So you see, and you need fear nothing or no one else. The joy of the Lord is most certainly the joy of sins forgiven. The joy of the Lord is the joy of a relationship restored. The joy of the Lord here is the joy of a clear conscience. Somebody give me an amen today. This you must be grabbing a hold of this truth. We're in this last day, and we desperately need this joy to endure it and keep the faith. The joy of the Lord is the joy of certain victory in battle. Hallelujah. Amen. No weapon, when we're right with God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is the joy of a covenant that is in effect through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is the joy of answered prayer. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Jesus talked about answered prayer in the new covenant. He said, I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He said in Pilate's hall, Father, I know that you always hear me. The only place and the only time is when he that knew no sin became as if he was a sinner to take our sin upon himself without ever sinning. Oh, but I know, Father, you're always with me, and I know that you always hear me. You see, his eyes are on not just people that have built their faith to some great level. His eyes are on the righteous people right with him, right wise with God. And his ears are open to their cry. The joy of the Lord is the joy of God's presence made manifest to us by the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord made David dance before the Ark of the Covenant. The joy of the Lord caused Israel to shout down the walls of Jericho. When David danced, he danced because the Ark was back, going to be put back in its place, and God's blessing was going to be restored upon the nation. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord caused glory to fill the temple as the people sang praises unto God. The joy of the Lord shook a prison and set the captives free when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises at midnight. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord shook the New Testament church when a lame man came in running and leaping and praising God. The joy of the Lord is evidence of true repentance and true reconciliation. And God wants us to enjoy and reclaim that joy and renew our strength and be found both occupying and keeping the faith when our Savior and our Sovereign returns. Hallelujah. God is going to stand with us as we stand with Him now. Praise God. I don't know if you want a personal revival. I'm not waiting on somebody else. I'm not looking to see what anybody else does with the Word, whether they use their faith or let it rust out. I'm not looking to see where anybody else shouts victory. When I have that reason to shout, I'm going to praise Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to glorify Him. I've come too far to look back, and there's not even a thought about going back. Everything is before us as children of God, and Jesus is coming very, very soon. But until He comes, there's strength for the journey. There's joy for the journey, for the joy of the Lord is your strength today. Dear friend of mine, let's reclaim the joy of the Lord. If there's a sin in our life, let's lay aside every weight, every encumbrance, and the sin that we know is there. Let's repent of it, confess it, and be forgiven, that we might run with perseverance the race that is set before us. It's not far now to the finish line. This is not a wind sprint. This is not a 100-yard or 50-yard dash. This is an endurance race. And they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. For we are partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's went before us. He's went before us. He leads us in triumph. He guarantees us victory. For He took on flesh and overcome everything that we could possibly have to face, that we might follow His lead, fly His banner, glorify His name, keep the faith till He comes. Let's have a revival. Let's have a renewing. Let's have a time of refreshing from the hand of the Lord today. Dear friend, if you don't know Jesus, there's no drug, there's no sinful experience of the flesh, there's nothing in this world that can give you righteousness, peace, perfect peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But His forgiveness can. His pardon will. Come to Jesus today. He will save you. Seal you with the Holy Spirit. Keep you safe from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name.